What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 5th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jesus Luzardo. Oh, come on, buddy. Yeah, he's a cherry bomb. And here's the thing. Throughout the entire year, I kind of did feel like, okay, Jesus Luzardo is kind of weird. And he has this cherry bomb. But the thing is, before this start of nine earned runs against the Rays, he'd been really good for five straight games. And he only had two bad outings. It was 12 earned runs combined against the Yankees and Atlanta. And there really was no sign of Jesus Luzardo allowing nine earned runs against the Rays of all teams. So I watched all of it. Three innings, he cruised. It was great. The broadcast was even saying he's got all of his pitches working tonight. He was only 34 pitches through three innings. Got the first out in the fourth. And he got four more outs. That is the rest of the fourth and one in the fifth for nine earned runs, including some that, of course, when he got pulled from the game, also came in to score. It was frustrating. He threw some bad pitches. His four-seamer was not well spotted, and his changeup and slider had moments, but also they were taken advantage of when they were left over the plate in 0-2 counts or just generally too hittable. That's the world of Luzardo. It's a hard fastball 96, however, does not have good shape whatsoever. Bad, bad extension. It's not flat. It's too steep. And, of course, it has terrible IVB. So he needs to command this well, and then that needs to set up the slider and the changeup, which should be nullifiers, not necessarily the main focus. They shouldn't be only the thing. And when they're only the thing, they will get hit because batters just won't be afraid of the fastball. So I need to move him down in my rankings. Unfortunately, I don't think that Luzardo's a drop, right? Because this is the 9 earned run game, and that means if you're dropping him, that just means that you expect more 9 earned run games, which you shouldn't. You already have that on the docket. Forget it. Right now, Luzardo moving forward, right? Is he worthwhile on your fantasy teams? Yes. Is he going to have some more of these hiccups? Yes. Is he a 5-3 ERA guy? No. Okay? Cool. Frankie Montas against the Rockies in Coors, 7 innings of 0 earned runs for a gold star. But what's even more shocking, 20 whiffs. For Frankie Montas. This is the best game I've seen from Frankie Montas. Four seamers upstairs with sliders and splitters down and sliders for strikes in there too. And what? You went Blake Snell blueprint. Frankie Montas. Kind of wild. He's not going to do that again, right? I can't really believe that Frankie Montas would. And his next start, if you really want to go after Frankie Montas, would be against the Cubs. I don't really want to take that chance. But, man, that was really cool. He gets that gold star. I'm happy for anyone that went after it. It's not for me. Luis Gil, that's 7 straight games of 0 earned runs or 1 earned run with at least 6 innings from Luis Gil, which, according to Sarah Langs, is the longest in Yankee history. That is the longest streak ever in Yankee history, which is bonkers from Luis Gil. He's been on such a run. If you remember this, early in April, he was struggling with getting strikes. Kind of started to click in by the end of April. He had the start, I believe, against the Brewers, where I started to see kind of come around a little bit on Friday the 26th, even though he allowed 5 earned runs. And then since then, it has just been strikes galore. Against Houston, he kind of got through it. It was okay. But then he had that game against the White Sox, 14 Ks. And boy, has he been on a stretch. It's not going to last, obviously. The left on base rate's about 85%. Home runs are very few, only a 180 BABIP overall. You don't need me to tell you that his hit luck is in his favor. It's currently minus 24, which is, yes, 100th percentile, according to PLV. So obviously that's going to change. There's obviously something going on here, though, between the interaction of his four-seamer and changeup. This is a 97-mile-per-hour four-seamer with a 91-mile-per-hour changeup. And last night, we saw those marks at 93 for the changeup and 96 on the four-seamer. That's pretty dang cool. He didn't allow a single bit of ideal contact on that changeup. Just low ICR rates across the board, 8% across all of his pitches is absolutely bonkers. Just one allowed in this game against the Twins. It's six innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 6 Ks for Luis Gil. He's on his way to to aces gonna ace if this continues. It's kind of hard for me to believe because I still feel as if he throws a few too many waste pitches, that is, uncompetitive ones. And actually, I've already talked to Kyle Bland. I'm probably going to talk about it with Eno today about figuring out a good metric for this because something I've been really thinking about a long time of, you know what? save it for the craft. Go listen to that episode tomorrow. It's going to be fun. We're going to be talking about different ways of thinking about the volatility of pitchers. I think Luis Gil still has some of that, but man, he has his final boss, I think, for the Aces going to ace tag against the Dodgers, right? A real, real challenge for Luis Gil. Can he get through that one? We'll see. Speaking of the Dodgers, Jared Jones passed his test. Got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs. 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. I feel bad for Glasnow, who just has gotten no run support, so he led 1 earned run in this one. Aces gonna ace for Tyler Glasnow, but he did not get a win with 9 strikeouts. So it goes. Jared Jones was throwing 101-mile-per-hour heaters in the first inning, which is crazy. And I gotta say, these at-bats with Mookie Betts were so good. The second one, Betts, you gotta tip your cap. Like, he earned a walk after fouling off really tough pitches, fastballs and sliders in the zone. I actually wanted Jerry Jones to throw a curveball on that one. I feel like Betts was timed for those two pitches and not for the curve, and that would have worked. But, man, it was fun. It was a great game. Jerry Jones is dope and makes his field dope. He was averaging 98 on his four-seamer. Not like 96, 98. And you look back at that Tiger start and you just go, what the heck was that? Because, yeah, 12 whiffs, not the 2021 that we see from Jerry Jones sometimes. But, yeah, he's dope and makes his field dope. Jack Flaherty was cruising against the Rangers. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. His slider and curve were both phenomenal. Slider was better than it was in the previous start, which is great. We saw that small little hiccup from it. I didn't really think that it was going to continue, but I did want to note it at the time. And Flaherty here, well, he left after 5 innings with 60 pitches because he had back tightness, which is honestly as good of a reason as you'll ever see for a pitcher getting removed early due to injury, okay? They say he's going to be fine for the next one. It was just something that flared up a little bit. So that's really good to see. You just, the only thing is that when guys are grooving, and they're in a rhythm, you just don't want any reason for them to get interrupted. You don't want, you want that to be like protected in glass on a little cushion with the light shining on it, right? Do not touch this thing. So you see this from Jack Flaherty. You saw also Ranger Suarez, like these two guys are just cruising. I hope they're okay. It should be fine. We're not going to do anything until, of course, we see any sort of signs of that degradation following. Trevor Richards, opened for the Jays. And you're thinking, wait, Trevor Richards, like the guy who used to start ages ago? Yes, he's a reliever now for the Jays, if you didn't know. He was opening for Bowden Francis and went 3.1 innings of 4 runs. And we're not going to do that. Even though the Orioles, like, yeah, no, Bowden Francis, absolutely not. You have Jared Jared Koenig. Let's go with that. He opened for the second straight night. It was against Colin Ray. Oh my gosh, I can't say sentences. It was for Colin Ray. 4 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. This is a great podcast, I promise you. He did this against the Phillies. Amazing. I'm so happy for Colin Ray. He actually has a 3.53 ERA for this season. Kind of nuts for Colin Ray. But we're not acting on that. He is the most desperate streamer, I think, Colin Ray. So, yeah, no. We have other guys, of course, to talk about from last night's game, including 2 MLB debuts, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break. Corbin Burnes against the Jays got the win. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 base runners, etc. 5 strikeouts, though. And his cutter is just not the premier command pitch that it used to be. I think that's just really what it is, and that's okay. He's getting outs and stuff, but yeah, he's not as overwhelmingly number one SP just because he's not getting a 30% strikeout rate anymore. PLV was right. It's one of the most redeeming things, honestly, when we're testing PLV in 2023 before the season. One of the barometers was seeing like all the aces, and obviously everyone had Corbin Burnes at like 30% strikeout rate, same for like Garrett Cole and all the other guys. And everything checked out except for Corbin Burnes, who had a 24% projected strikeout rate, and we're like, no. This has got to be wrong, but I can't put this out. But that was right. And it's kind of one of those things I've always thought about with PLV. Patrick Sandoval against the Padres. We should be considering him more. I should be giving him a lot more fanfare for the Irish Panda coming through. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. His changeup and slider were both cooking, you know? And if you were getting any team but the Astros next, not any team, but, you know, any decent matchup next, I would give this a bigger focus. But you might want to still go for that just because he gets the Giants afterward, which I would be in for. Adam Mazur. Okay, so this is an interesting one because I certainly did not do all of my research on Adam Mazur before this. Because I'll be honest with you guys, when it comes to prospects, I'm not going to tell you that I am the best one for this. There are guys that spend so much time doing prospect analysis, and I'm able to do quick things on Baseball Savant. Sometimes I'm able to catch some video, but obviously it's just like 5 minutes of work because I got to focus on over, 200 starting pitchers in the majors. And I used to do something where I wouldn't focus on prospects at all. I would just wait until they made their MLB debut, and then we'd talk about it then. And, you know, guys like Jackson Joe, Paul Skenes, and Jared Jones, Christian Scott, those are big name ones, and obviously I'm going to have a bigger take on them. A guy like Adam Azer, who we haven't seen much of, and, he made his MLB debut, and what I saw from the minors, I actually incorrectly, I think, said the other day that he was a lefty just because I got my wires crossed. But he's a four-seamer guy with a slider and a curve and changeup. So what I saw from the AAA numbers was trying to be a command guy first and not being this overwhelming four-seamer, even though it came in at like 95 in the minors, and it did here at 95 as well. I remember in the broadcast they were even calling him like a mini George Kirby, which I can understand because it does look a little bit like him, especially with the same velocity, and he is going BSB, that is Blake Snell Blueprint, trying to go up with the four-seamer and generally being very accurate with that, and then with the secondaries down in the zone, and I think that actually does work. The thing is, the four-seamer isn't very good. It's very steep, and it's not great IVB. He has very bad extension. Actually, watching him, you can kind of see that, yeah, he doesn't really get out. It makes it so that the 95 he's throwing is more like 93 or so, and it's a lot easier to hit. That said, it is upstairs, and location matters really, really importantly for this stuff, and if he's able to get his sliders, curves, and changeups located well too, Adam Azer obviously is something. Watching him pitch does feel more confident than other prospects I've seen. It does feel like it's an overall package that generally works, more so than a lot of randomness of like a fastball and a slider or something that you're hoping works out from a normal prospect, right? It feels more as if Mazur has these four pitches and is going to utilize them to get outs. So I actually am cool with Adam Mazur. This was 6 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. The 4 walks, you really should throw out the window because it's an MLB debut. This is why we don't start guys in MLB debuts. He still has the shag rug that is the young man's floor. Right? Every rookie has a lower floor than veterans. We just know this. They are more volatile, typically. It's the first season in the bigs, and there's more confusion about what their actual skill set is, and they're still developing, etc. That said, if Adam Azer's sticking in this rotation for the Padres, I think he's decent. He's a decent 12-teamer pickup at the moment. He gets the Arizona Diamondbacks later this week. That should be okay. I think it should be better than the 4 walks, more than 77 pitches. But think about this. 6 innings and 77 pitches is pretty cool for having 4 walks, right? He should be a good strike thrower with those secondaries. So that's Adam Azer. I don't think he's going to be this absurd electric star. I imagine he's going to have like one of those really good games of like 7 strikeouts, 1 earned run, something like that at some point. But I don't see this as a, oh my gosh, are you the guy who got Adam Azer? I mean, he should be decent. He should be good. I keep going back and forth. Like, think about George Kirby, but just a little more volatile. So what does that make him? Like a potential Holly? Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, that's Adam Azer. I generally like to go for prospects that have more electricity, that is more whiff potential because of that shag rug. But I think there is actually something to be said about the command and overall approach, the kitchen sink of four different pitches for Adam Azer. Okay. Christopher Sanchez against the Brewers. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. He's up to 95 on his 4-seamer. It's not 96 like we saw last time, but 95 is still excellent. And because of that, we are really happy about this. Even though he only had 3 whiffs, the changeup should get more of those in the future. The power sinker is legit. And I love that he said to, I believe he said to Eno, we mentioned this on The Craft, it was like, aren't you a little worried that, Eno's asking, are you worried about the movement being limited more because you're throwing the sinker harder? And he goes, yeah, but I give him less time to react. Like, that's way better. And I'm like, yes, that is right. That is correct. So that's good. Tyler Glasnow, we already talked about. Chris Flexen. Oh my gosh. Flexen at the beach. 5 innings, 1 run. 3 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks against the Cubs. That's so wonderful. It's a birthday party, so. We move on. We do not want to touch Chris Flexen. Shota Imanaga, 4.1 innings of 1 earned run, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. This does not tell you all what you need to know. 70 pitches, roughly, 14 whiffs. against the White Sox. And you're like, that doesn't seem that great. It seems pretty good, but the seven hits, what's going on? So he pitched three innings great. And then the fourth inning was really annoying to watch. It was a single and a 3-2 pitch that was a fastball is easy to hit. Fine. Line to center. Andrew Vaughn, you should have gotten to the 3-1 count in the first place. And then a doink. Like, this should have been caught. It wasn't caught. And then it was a grounder to third that was a tailor-made double play. Like, you pick up that ball, you step on third, throw to first, that's two. Nope, it was booted, and it becomes second and third with a run scored. And then you have an out followed by, I think it was a bad fastball that was turned on for a double to left. And then you had a home run off of Sosa's bat. That was a really bad 82 mile per hour splitter. First, I thought it was a slider, but it was like, no, 82 is too slow. It was a really bad one that like landed middle in and was just kind of hung there. So at least all those are unearned for the most part, save for one of them. And the home run problem at least doesn't go against you. Here's the thing, though. So he comes back in for the fifth, and then there was a rain delay that just knocked him out of the game. It's not fair. And what's kind of interesting for Shota Imanaga is that, yeah, he had that really bad start before, led more home runs. And people are going to see this and probably feel a little more still tepid on him. But this is not Shota being bad, guys. The defense has actually let down the Cubs a ton. They had a really good stat of, I think, negative 16 runs saved for the Cubs this year as a defense. And then the White Sox are like minus 34 or something stupid. So I got to actually look into that more and really assess team defenses at this point, because that is actually one of the things that we overlook. I certainly do in season as factors to include in my analysis, being like, yes, this guy should allow more hits. However, this is a major reason why he's not. So keep that in mind. Spencer Arrighetti against the Cardinals, also annoying as heck because three innings, one run, and he was knocked out of this game for a comebacker to the calf. He finished the third inning, and it's annoying. So no streaming victory for me. I get the loss because of that, and that's just how it goes. Christian Javier got Tommy John. So that is an opening in the rotation that Arrighetti has now. Urquidy had Tommy John. That's Renell Blanco's. And then there's JP France kind of hovering around, I guess. But right now it's Vasquez, Framber Valdez, rather, sorry. Spencer Arrighetti, Renell Blanco, and I'm forgetting, Hunter Brown and Justin Verlander. So I don't think any of those are getting displaced for France. I don't think Arrighetti is going to be displaced for France. And it makes it feel like Arrighetti is going to get the runway that I want him to have to get his four-seamer working and just really overall command. That said, I wouldn't overinvest in Spencer Arrighetti making that happen. He does get the Giants next as long as he's okay and they're not going to delay this because of the calf contusion. Then, yeah, I would do that. That said, if there are other things out there, Spencer Arrighetti, I don't know when that's really going to click in for you, but if you have to make a move for the full season and you're in a very deep league, Arrighetti should be around for a bit, and I generally think that's going to be good long-term. Max Fried ace is going to ace with a wonderful seven-inning game of 200 runs, four hits, one walk, and, I don't know, 13 strikeouts. You know, he was like a 19%, 20% strikeout rate guy just a moment ago. Yeah, now that's up to 23%. We're back to normal. We've, like, reset everything, and it's Max Fried being dope. It's also kind of funny. The first two games of the year were bad for Max Fried, and this is just what happens every year, right? I mean, last year, sure, he was injured, but the previous two seasons, first two or three games, we would just generally overlook, and then he was a stud, like a 2.5 ERA, if not lower, after that. Well, it's a 1.83 ERA since those first two games. We had some worry about the forearm early in the season. Max Fried has just been phenomenal since, and now the strikeouts are here to make you feel even better. 21 whiffs for a 40% CSW for a golden goal. Sorry, Frank Amont, there's no gallows pull for you. But all six of his pitches had a 30% plus CSW. Unbelievable. David Peterson against the Nationals. Hey, he came through with his slider, 6 for 26 whiffs and 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 base runners, 2 Ks. Peelbot got that one right. I didn't believe in it because I didn't see the slider getting whiffs in his first start. Glad that he came through here for a win. He seems like a Toby, gets the Marlins next, sure. The thing is, it's just sinker slider. I don't really think the sinker is very good. The slider is fine. 23% overall CSW here. Like, I don't think that Peterson's that good, but sure, against the Marlins. George Kirby against the Athletics. 5 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk in, 9 strikeouts. This was so good. I mean, he was better in the previous one, and this one was a little stranger because the slider wasn't as well located, but it's coming in harder again at 88 miles per hour. And that's awesome, right? The harder slider for Kirby is a better pitch. 48% CSW on that. Same with the four-seamer, as he saved a little bit more with the sinkers upstairs. This is good. Now he gets the Royals and Rangers, and if he executes both of those, he's an ace once again. I think he will. I just would feel weird giving him aces against ace against the Royals and then facing the Rangers right after. I'd say just go through those two and you have it. Blake Walston against the Giants, 4.1 innings of 200 runs. He's trying to be a Toby with a neckbeard approach. It didn't quite work. Four walks in this one. He was too inefficient, 88 pitches in 4.1 innings, so there you go. But over time, maybe Walston does become that Toby from the left side. Kyle Harrison, speaking of the left side, poor quality start, 6 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. If you are not in a quality start league, that's a bad ERA, a bad whip, no win, 5 Ks, and that's actually when he located his changeup well. I really do not encourage going after Kyle Harrison. Ryan Pepio, though, oh man, he got the poor quality start, sure, 6 innings, 300 runs, but the win against the Marlins, 6 hits, 0 walks, that's a great whip, and 8 strikeouts, 13 for 56 whiffs on his four-seamer. It is a really good four-seamer. And I remember this actually in the offseason. I made a tweet about the trade to the Rays for Pepio. And I said, Pepio's got a really good changeup, but I just don't see enough in the rest of the arsenal to be into it. Someone posted a tweet after, so really don't like the fastball much. And I, at the time, I was like, yeah, I don't really know. Then I became enlightened to all the pitch shape metrics. And all of a sudden, I felt so stupid. Because I was just wrong. Pepio's four-seamer was not being located well when it had this amazing shape. And then it clicked for me, like, wait a second, the Rays, they love high fastballs. They're going to do this to him. That's what they did. I remember Eric Smolski and I getting really excited in February seeing that the four-seamer was being elevated and getting back in on Pepio. I didn't expect him really to soar as much as he has lately. 17 whiffs in this one. It just seems like such a perfect match. He still needs to get his changeup and slider down. And the thing is, Pepio normally has a very good changeup. That like was his thing coming up at, I think, at an 80 grade value on Fangraphs, which is absolutely unreal. But he didn't have command initially, then he did more so last year. Long story short, Ryan Pepio, I see a future ace with this, and I have him in that ace potential tier on the list. I think in the next couple starts, we're really going to see this blossom, and you're going to be stoked about Ryan Pepio. Dane Dunning against the Tigers. Man, we have so many guys. My gosh. Dane Dunning against the Tigers, 300 runs, 5 innings. It was a stream you were trying to make happen. You got the loss. You got one whip at least. I don't know. He's fine. Sinkers got called strikes and everything else didn't get the whiffs. Bailey Ober was terrifying for us against the Yankees. 5 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Honestly, the only home run was a porch shot from Gleyber Torres that was barely out. Would have been a flyout elsewhere. I mean, I don't know why he threw, 9 changeups in this? Bailey Ober, your best pitch is your changeup. It's 6 PLV. We don't see that. We just don't see that good of a PLV. And you have it, and you just didn't use it. You used cutters and sliders a little too much. They were too far out of the zone, 4 walks. They were patient. It's not nearly as bad if you took the chance for Bailey Ober here. 300 runs, fine, in 5 innings, and 7 base runners. Look, if you went one fewer earned run, it feels whatever. We move on, Bailey Ober, everything is fine. Cutter Crawford had a bit of a careful Icarus as he allowed 2 unearned runs early in the game and then another 2 in the 7th as he went out after the 6th inning. Unfortunate, honestly, I see Cutter Crawford just being solid, and he didn't really have the best command of everything in this one, but the pitches are all, as a whole, 4-seamer, cutter, sweeper, very good. I think Cutter Crawford's still fine. This was against Atlanta, 6 innings, 4 runs. It's fine. Mitch Spence against the Mariners then come through, 6 innings, 4 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Unfortunately, it's cutters and sliders, but he just did not command them well, and they're at 83 miles per hour. You need something else there. Ty Bloch. Seth Lugo against the Guardians. You see 6 innings of 5 runs. Uh-oh! Is this it? Now, final 2 earned runs came in the 7th frame, otherwise it would have been a poor quality start. He had 1 bad inning. No, we're not going to jump off this with Seth Lugo. I know I said, I feel like this is going to be the bad one. And sure, but I'm not going to... It wasn't like Seth Lugo was imploding or something. No, it was just 1 bad inning, really. So he'll go against the Mariners next. And then the Dodgers are after. And I'm going to tell you to sit him there. Tristan McKenzie against the Royals. 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, we're totally out. Well, 7 strikeouts, 9 whiffs on the curve for Tristan McKenzie. Oh, man, I left him off the list. And that's why. But then again, nine whiffs on the curveball and it gets the Marlins next. It's possible that works. I don't know. It's a massive cherry bomb thing there for Tristan McKenzie. Andre Pallante, I was hoping to see some skills here that made me confident as a rocky road stream on Sunday. I didn't see it here against the Astros. Three innings of 600 runs. The four seamer that has cut movement to it was really hittable. Same with the sinker and stuff. It's just nothing from the secondaries. I don't want to go after Andre Pallante. And lastly, DJ Hurz, the second MLB debut we saw yesterday against the Mets. Four innings, 400 runs, seven hits, two walks, three Ks. Obviously terrible, right? Trevor Williams is nursing a flexor tendon issue, so DJ Hurz is taking the spot. We never wish for injury. And there are elements to like about Hurz. I think the four-seamer is good enough shape to actually perform well in the zone upstairs. It's a strong changeup at times. Like, he threw a really good 2-0-1 to Alonso. He has a promising cutter, too, I think, that had moments. But this was MLB debut jitters, and I'm actually kind of considering DJ Hurz in a week. That is, after the Atlanta start, see where that is. If he has better skills in that one, then I would consider going into Hurz for the Marlins. I think he's going to stick around because there's no one else with the Nationals to step in. All right, looking forward to today's and tomorrow's games. We don't have any updates from today. So we have Sonny Gray, Tanner Houck, Kyle Bradish, and Reynaldo Lopez in the auto start tier for tomorrow. You have probable start tier, Brian Wu against Oakland because I don't know how his health is. Pablo Lopez against the Yankees, Marcus Stroman against the Twins, Walker Buehler against the Pirates, Tanner Bibee against the Royals, Hunter Green against the Cubs, and Javier Saad against the Reds. I know we're scared about Pablo Lopez a bit here. I think he looked better in the last one, but hopefully that's not a Dennis. I understand if you want to sit him there. Javier Saad is still doing his Vargas will find, and what are we going to get from Walker Buehler? I don't know, guys. You have a questionable start tier of Cal Quantrill as our stream pick of the day against the Cardinals. It was against the Dodgers last time. Splitter's still really good. I think this is actually good enough, and it's out of course. I think this is going to work out well for you against the Cardinals. You have Yusei Kikuchi going against Baltimore, and oh, I'm just terrified of that one. I just hope we see the slider return for Kikuchi in that one. JP Sears against the Mariners. He's not really going high four-seamer right now. It's more slider and sweeper, but that might come out against the Mariners. And Mitchell Parker had 8 over 22 whiffs against Atlanta with his slider last time he faced them. Then he had another start where there was just no sliders. I don't know what we're going to see from Mitchell Parker. That could work. It could not. Atlanta's not as terrifying as it used to be. And the do not start tier, you have Bailey Falter against the Dodgers. No thank you. Randy Vasquez against the Diamondbacks. No thanks. It's Sony against the Padres. Daniel Lynch against the Guardians. And Jake Woodford, the Amish Mustang, against the Red Sox. All those are clear no. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.